بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We move on to chapter 27 from the beneficial sayings on beneficial saying on the book of Tawheed. First, the author رحمه الله in his text said, chapter ما جاء في النشرة، ما جاء في النشرة. What has been mentioned concerning An-Nushra? And we will understand, inshallah, what this term Nushra means. The linguistic meaning of the term Nushra is to separate, put apart. And technically, it refers to removal of sihr, of magic, from anyone afflicted with it. That is because the one who removes this sihr, he takes it apart, removes it, lifts it. That's why it is called nushra. As to its ruling, that will be clear from what the author rahimahullah had mentioned. And there is no doubt that removal of sihr of the mashur is from cure. And there is great reward and merit to it for the one who seeks by that the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, this is what? Conditional on that which is permissible. Now, why there is merit in that? Because a sihr, magic, has its influence on the body of the mashur. Mashur meaning the one upon whom the sihr was made. Upon him, upon his body, upon his intellect, himself, and also restricts his breast. And sometimes it can turn into psychological illnesses, turning away people and so therefore it has this influence on the body and the intellect and the self. Now, with respect to the nushra that was known in the Jahiliyyah time, in the pre-Islamic era, then that involved acts of shaitan. Because the author rahimahullah put the evidence for this from the hadith of Jabir, that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about An-Nushra, and he said, "Hiya min amali shaitan." It's reported on the authority of Jabir that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about An-Nushra, and he said, "It is one of the works of shaitan." And this is the one involving the use of shayateen, of devils. And the person will not attain his objective from them except through shirk. Now, what about in cases the objective is attained by a sinful means? Then it will be sinful. It will take the ruling of being a sin. Another type is that it involves ways of magic through medications and spells and knots and blowing and the like. This takes the ruling of magic as detailed in previous discussions. Hold a second. Now, and from that is what some people do. Like they will take a pocket above the head of al-mashhur, the one afflicted with sihr, and they put water in it, and they pour lead, and they claim that the sahir, the magician, would his face would appear in this lead, and through this he will be able to find who put the magic for him. And when Imam Ahmad was asked about the nushra, he said some people permitted it. Then when he was told they make the water in the pocket and then they do this, he waved with his hand and he said, I don't know this, I don't know what is this. And it is as if he, rahimahullah, refrained in the matter and disliked indulging in it. Back to the statement of Jabir, it is reported on the authority of Jabir that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about al-nushra and he said, it is one of the works of shaitan, meaning it is from the action which the shaitan commands and inspires. And that is because shaitan commands sin and inspires the munkar, the evil, to his followers. And sufficient in this, you know, to say that this is haram, but rather this is even more, because attributing it to shaitan is more profound than turning, more profound in the effect of turning people away from it. Now, this is reported by Ahmad, this narration of Jabir, with good chain, and Abu Dawood. And he said, when Ahmad was asked about it, Ahmad was asked about these matters, and he answered that Ibn Mas'ud yakrahu hadha kullahu. That Ibn Mas'ud detested all such things. So in this way, look at this. Imam Ahmad responded by referring to the saying of a sahabi, of a companion, in this case as Abdullah bin Mas'ud. And it is as if he did not have an authentic report from the Prophet ﷺ on this. Otherwise he would have resorted to the authentic report. Now, in his saying that Ibn Mas'ud detested all such things, this is in reference to an-nushra. And on the apparent, it would include even that which is done in an allowable matter. However, this is not intended. That is because an-nushra, as a cure from sihr, by Quran and by recitations, legal recitations, no one said that this is detested. And we learned from a previous class, Ibn Mas'ud rahimahullah disliked putting the tamima, even if it contained the Quran. Whether it contained the Quran or other than the Quran, he disliked it. So therefore, this generality is intended towards the nushra, which is from the action of shaitan. And that is the nushra by sihr, by magic, and also the nushra which may be from the tamima. Now, look at this word here. Detested all such things. Detesting with the previous predecessors, or with the predecessors, often means tahreem. Often means tahreem. And it cannot be other than that except by an indication. This is with the predecessors. With the latter, it means that which is not what's supposed to be taking precedence. So it is other than what is supposed to take precedence. This is with the latter ones, the meaning of karahiyah, detesting. You can look at the Quran. In Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17, verse 23. This is a long verse. But we will begin with some of it and then go to the last verse, which is 17, 38, where lies the point of evidence. وَقَضَ رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And your Lord has decreed that you worship not but Him, and that you be dutiful to your parents. If one of them or both of them attain old age in your life, say not to them a word of disrespect, no shout at them, but address them in terms of honor, all the way till 17:38. All the bad aspects of these, which Allah had mentioned, are hateful to your Lord. You see that? Are what? Are what? Hateful to your Lord. Are these matters disliked or it is tahreem here? This is what? This is tahreem. You see that? There is no doubt that this is for tahreem. Inshallah, we will stop with this narration so that we continue on the other subject, and we will try to follow this inshallah tomorrow. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa sallallahu alayhi wa Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira. Welcome. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. We continue this subject on An-Nushra, and this is the second and last part of this chapter, chapter 27, and the author رحمه الله reported related the report by Al-Bukhari on the authority of Qatada, that he said, I said to Ibn al-Musayyib, a man is under the influence of a magic spell, or is unable to have sex with his wife. Should we treat him with An-Nushra, I mean, treat him to remove this spell, or use some other means to cure the spell? So, Ibn al-Musayyib answered, لا بأس به. It is permissible to use An-Nushra, since they intend by it restoration or mending. That which is beneficial is not prohibited. طيب. So, in this he said, a man is under the influence of a magic spell or is unable to have sex with his wife, and that this is a kind of magic. And this is amazingly common with people, that at the time of the contract, marriage contract, some people think that if someone ties a knot, then in this case, the man will be unable to have sex with his wife. But this has no basis. No basis in terms of what people relate, that at the time of the contract, if someone ties a knot. But as to the magic done to withhold the man such that he is unable to have sex with his wife, this is very common. And people seek a treatment for that. So when Ibn al-Musayyib was asked about this, should we treat him with an-nushra? Ibn al-Musayyib answered, it is permissible, la bas, it's okay. And in his answer, it is as if Ibn al-Musayyib, rahimahullah, divided magic into two types, harmful and unharmful. And the harmful is the forbidden. As Allah stated in Surah Al-Baqarah 102, وَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ. But they could not thus harm anyone except by Allah's leave. وَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ. And they learn from them that which harms them not nor benefit them from the magicians. But according to Ibn al-Musayyib, as if he is dividing the sihr now into two types, harmful and unharmful. The harmful is forbidden. The harmful is and والنافع, the beneficial, no harm. This is what is apparently related to Ibn al-Musayyib, but is apparently reported that he had. And this is what's apparent from what is reported from Ibn al-Musayyib. And some of the scholars concluded from this that it's okay to treat magic by magic under necessity. However, others from the people of knowledge had mentioned that this is not permissible. And they carried the report of Ibn al-Musayyib that what is intended is regarding situations in which the matter is unknown. Is it a magic or is it not? Or it is not. But if it is known that it is magic, then it is not to be treated. And Allah knows best. Nevertheless, even assuming that Ibn al-Musayyib and those who are higher in rank than Ibn al-Musayyib, whose sayings are not proofs, assuming that they see that this is permissible to treat magic with magic, then this does not necessitate that this is permissible in the ruling of Allah until it is checked against the book of Allah and the Sunnah. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was asked about an-nushra, treating the magic, and he said, treating the magic with magic, he said, إنه من عمل الشيطان. It is from shaitan's works. Then the author reported the narration from Al-Hasan, who said, لا يحل السحر إلا ساحر. Reported Al-Hasan Al-Basri said, magic is not counteracted by its like except by a magician. This report, if authentic, indicates that Al-Hasan refers to the known counteraction, that it may not come except from a magician. Yani in most cases, does not occur except by a magician. Then he reported the saying of Ibn al-Qayyim, who said, النشرة حل السحر عن المسحور. وهي نوعان. أحدهما حل بسحر مثله. وهو الذي من عمل الشيطان. وعليه يحمل قول الحسن. فيتقرب الناشر والمنتشر إلى الشيطان بما يحب. فيبطل عمله عن المسحور. والثاني النشرة بالرقية والتعوذات والأدوية والمباحة فهذا جائز. The author, may Allah's mercy be upon him, reported then the saying of Imam Ibn al-Qayyim. He said, An-Nushra is removing the effects or countering the effects of magic, sorcery, spell, from the affected one. And it is of two types. The first is the use of magic to remove the effects of another magic. And it is an act of shaitan, to which the comment of Al-Hasan al-Basri we just heard applies. And through this, the one who performs sorcery and the patient both get closer to Satan, to shaitan, to the devils, by that which he loves. And the devil then removes the effects of magic from the afflicted. So it is through the shaitan, through the shayateen. The second type, an-nushra bil-ruqya, that the effects of magic to be removed by making recitation of the Quranic verses, by offering legitimate prayers, seeking refuge with Allah, permissible medicines, and making supplications to Allah. These are all permitted forms of an-nushra. These words of Ibn al-Qayyim are sufficient and good, and there is nothing to add to them. From this class we learn the prohibition of nushra. This is derived from the saying of the Prophet ﷺ that it is from the works of shaitan. One of the works of shaitan. The second thing, we learn the difference between the forbidden type of nushra and the permissible. And we learned it from the report of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah. We just finished reading. This brings the end of this second part on the discussion of this subject on an-nushra. Inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow we'll proceed to the chapter on omens, chapter 28. Walhamdulillah rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.